Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back to Small After the Hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I am glad, well, I should say, I told you earlier that Beth Lexington was going to join us, but it's just going to be you and me. I've got some things I want to talk about first, and we'll work on getting Bev on in the next hour. One of the things I want to talk to you about today is something that I've written about lately, and that's called what small business owners can learn about what Target did in Canada. You know who Target is? Target is the retailer, right? The retailer that went to Canada a couple of years ago, 2011. Target Corporation, that successful national retailer out of Minnesota, announced that they were expanding into neighboring Canada, right? Many of you may have heard about that. Well, the launch was aggressive. They assumed almost 2,000 spaces vacated by recently bankrupt chain Target Canada. It opened 123 stores. I'm sorry, 133 stores in less than 2 years, including one only a few hundred miles from their headquarters in Minneapolis. So, having successfully gone head to head with Walmart and Penny's and Costco, I guess, and all the others, all those other U.S. competitors who have already expanded successfully north of the border. They've already been successful in the U.S. against those companies. Now those companies have gone north of the border. They're being successful. Why wouldn't Canada be a good opportunity for Target, right? Well, alas, less than 2 years later and $2 billion in losses, Target Canada announced this last week that it was closing all those stores and seeking creditor protection. Well, this story isn't, I'm not telling you this story to call attention to the many things Target did wrong. They certainly did. There have been articles written about all the things that they did wrong, the way they announced the stores, the assuming the store spaces of a failed retail organization. That's not always good, right? Going in somehow, sometimes it seems like locations get a hex on them, doesn't it, sometimes? So many articles written on what Target did wrong, but perhaps I'm the only one who pointed out what they did right. They did not become victims of the Concord fallacy. In 1956, the British and French governments, along with their aircraft and engine manufacturers, began the process of building a supersonic airliner. From the start, the Concorde, remember that? The Concorde supersonic jet? It was plagued by production overruns, prohibitive budget overruns. In fact, long before the wheels came up on the first commercial flight in 1976, that partnership between those two countries knew the venture would never sustain itself financially before it ever took off. They knew it was doomed financially, and yet they couldn't bring themselves to shut it down. By the last Concorde flight in 2003, many of you remember that, the Anglo-French misadventure had become so legendary that evolutionary biologists coined the term Concorde fallacy. Perhaps you've heard me mention this before. Concorde fallacy is a metaphor for when sticking with a troubled project costs more than starting over with a new alternative. In this case, instead of scrapping the existing structure and model they were doing, they could have spent less money early on and completely gone in another direction than the one they were on, perhaps to success. But that's the Concorde fallacy. They couldn't pull that trigger. Ego and sovereign pride by the Concorde partnership caused the willing suspension of economic reason. Plus, they failed to apply the lesson of sunk costs. You know what sunk cost is? Here it is. Any business decision, or I should say just any decision. Animals do this. Any decision to continue an unviable project, especially a financially unviable project, should not be based on what has already been spent. Let me say that again. Any decision to continue a financially unviable project should not be based on what has already been spent. Here's what it sounds like in your small business, in my small business. We've got too much invested in this to stop now. Or maybe we just need to work harder. We just need to work harder. We hear that all the time, don't we, sometimes in our businesses when we're trying to make an excuse for why something isn't working. My friends, pride can be a productive thing or it can be a problem. Consider this handy admonition that a mentor once gave me. I was working on a project and I was kind of frustrated and things weren't going too well and I seemed to be going down a dead end street everywhere I turned. I was so committed to this project. I thought I was going to save the world with this project, I guess. And every time I turned around, I was hit with the obstacle. And I couldn't figure it out. And I was young enough to think that I could still slay this dragon. And I went to this mentor and I told him about it. He said, remember this. He asked me this question. And I now call this the Concord question. He said, Jim, do you have a fighting chance? Or do you just have a chance to fight? The Concord question. Ask yourself this question when you're faced with a project that seems to be going nowhere, or it's costing you too much, or you're worried about it, or it's troubling you somehow. Ask yourself the Concord question. Do you have a fighting chance, or just a chance to fight? Arguably, the hardest decision any of us make in small business is when to end a business pursuit, some product or an acquisition of some kind, or the mother of all anguishing decisions, when to close the business. I've had to close a business more than once. It was anguishing, but I had to do it. And in some cases, I probably took too long. Should you, like Target, heed the sunk cost lessons to avoid your Concord, or is it a breakthrough just around the corner? That's what you have to decide, isn't it? And as you've heard me say many times before, being a small business owner isn't for sissies. Avoid the Concord fallacy by asking yourself the Concord question truthfully. Quick break, 29 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.